Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to San Francisco. We're here today and all week to celebrate the developer community and all of the amazing apps that they've created. I hope that video did a great job of capturing just how deeply we feel about our developer community, and more importantly, the number of lives that they...
Anyway, Tim Cook, I love his dialect. I haven't done any real research on where he comes from, but Tim Cook, the now CEO of Apple, speaking at the Worldwide Developers Conference on Monday, the Monday just gone there. How are you doing? It's all one word here. It's another late one. It's 7 minutes past 10 at night. So, good evening. I didn't want to talk about the Apple stuff. And the reason why that is there's so many haters out there, man. Jesus. I don't understand why people gots to hate. But one of the things that I just can't get out of my head when I watch that live streaming WWDC, was that this particular one, bearing in mind it's for developers, and this was really geeky, this one, this year. But what I couldn't shake for the past few days is the fact that they all seem happy, you know, all the presenters, you know, all these vice presidents. They all seem very happy. They all seem very energized. And there was a different feel about this Worldwide Developers Conference. So Apple announced iOS 8 and also the next version of OS 10. Commonly known as OS X, and this will be 10.10. We're on 10.9 now, and so last time round with 10.9, excuse me, that's what sinusitis does for you. They changed their pet name for the release, and so they've done away with the big cats now, and we're now on to features within California. So the current version is Mavericks. And the next version of OS X is going to be Yosemite. And so anyway, iOS, which is the mobile platform, you know, for iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, has a lot more features akin to the desktop operating system, you know, OS X. So there are a lot of features that I personally will find useful. But it's not. I don't want to talk about them specifically. It's not my intention to talk about them specifically. So, I may need to. I may need to describe, but I think it's the integration now of the mobile platform with the desktop platform. You know, it's so close now. They're so close-knit. But what I did notice was that they had, and you know, Apple do this, is they take the idea from another brand and they resell it as their own. You know, one example is the new keyboards for the mobile platforms. You know, you can, instead of taking your finger off to tap on the keyboard, you know, so taking your finger off, you know, you can now kind of scroll across, and a change in direction will activate that particular key. So Android have had that for ages. Which is always, I'd found that, you know, quite a useful thing, really. So they're bringing that, and you know, there are many, many more. Look, there are many more. But they've definitely, I don't want to say stolen or ripped off, but they've definitely taken on board about 10 very popular features that are that have been on mobile devices of other brands, you know, not necessarily particularly Android, but they've now integrated those into iOS 8. And so there are actually, they do this more and more every year. They buy these firms, or they or they will recruit these firms and bake their technology into iOS. One such feature is Shazam. So now when you activate Siri, or rather you can activate Siri, and Siri will listen to music, and Shazam will kick in and identify that music and tell you, you know, it will be Shazam behind the scenes, but it will present itself via Siri. So which is very, very handy. I use Shazam a lot. And I use it to, if I'm out and about, and, well, probably the same as everybody else, really. Two ways I use it. You know, I use Shazam to listen to the music to ascertain what it is, because it's familiar, and I just want to know the name of the artist, the album, and the song. But also, I use it to if I particularly like the song. So that I can record that fact within Shazam, because Shazam records all of the songs that you tag, as it's termed within Shazam, so that it lists them. It puts them into a list, or the list. It puts them into the list. So you know, you can go back at a later date if you do so wish. And buy the song via iTunes, which is, you know, at the tap of a button, you can, it'll take you into iTunes to purchase that song. Or I suppose you can, you know, play it again if you want. You know, it doesn't obviously give you the whole song, just a sample of it, like, you know, probably all music selling platforms. So just little features like that. But it was just the whole feel of that WWDC. It just seemed more energized. They seemed happy. There was less corny jokes. All the jokes that they came out with were corny jokes before, but on this one, they were actually laughable jokes. It was really really interesting to watch. Actually, it kept me, and it went on for ages. It went on for over 2 hours, but it kept me glued to the screen. Even when they were talking about flipping coding, and that's another. Virtually everything they talked about was pretty big, but they talked about their new coding language, which they've called Swift. So before they were using Objective C, and I think they've dropped the C, essentially. What they have done is they've developed their own coding language. Now, I know nothing about coding, absolutely nothing. But as I watched this presentation, the camera would pan round the audience, and at the moment that it was announced that Apple, said, we've developed our own coding language, and it's called Swift. There were a handful of people in the audience that went absolutely mental for it, cheering and whooping, and as usually happens at WWDC anyway, with like 6,000 people sitting in the audience. But you know, generally the ones at the front of are the ones who have got there first, or they're the most important, or you know, whatever. But there was a couple of guys who were like, "Whoa, this is, you know, it's the best thing since sliced bread." You know, it's like. And I thought, well, if you want to get really excited over that. Now, but the thing is, you know, something that they demonstrated something on the screen, which was just absolute, you know, gobbledygook to me. I didn't understand a single thing. It was all flipping ones and zeros, you know. They demonstrated, look, this is what we were doing before, and this is what people do before, and this is what we can do now. And everything was smaller, and it was more You know, they didn't need to type like 6 lines of code. It went into 1 line of code. So obviously, to a lot of people, that would mean a lot more than it did to me. But so yeah, I'm happy for those people essentially. So so that was that. And you know, one of the things I was keen to know, well, what were the differences on the desktop platform OS X? What were the differences between this version and the next version? Because there were only just a couple of little tweaks, as far as I could see, between the last of the big cats, Mountain Lion, and Mavericks. There were only a couple of little things. But what they did do with Mavericks was they engineered a different way of using memory, which in actual fact, I don't think I'm really that chuffed with, because what I get now is not latency, but some programs, they take a lot longer to boot up now. When I say a lot longer, I'm talking, you know, 2 or 3 times what they did before. So maybe I'm waiting 2 or 3 seconds for something to load, which, believe you me, is a long time for a Mac. But I did notice that my machine, my 2011 iMac, had slowed down a lot since installing Mavericks. So this is one of my conspiracy theories about Apple. They bring out the next technology, and so you're forced to upgrade your hardware. And as everybody knows, Apple stuff is the most expensive on the market. But you know, I went with Apple because it does what I want it to do. A lot of people don't like it because it's overpriced. Well, I am not comfortable with I'm not comfortable anymore with a PC, a Windows based PC. I'm not, so that's personal preference. There's a lot of features that I do miss from Windows, really. So my Mac is a 3.4 gigahertz Intel Core i7 with 16 gigs of RAM, which is a 1333 megahertz DDR3 set of RAM, and I have my graphics card's a 2 gigabyte graphics card, and so it's not an old machine. I suppose that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're talking 3 years down the line now. But there are certain things that because of Mavericks, I'm convinced it has slowed down since installing Mavericks. So it's not something I'm really chuffed with. My mother-in-law bought a brand new 27-inch iMac. Oh, sinusitis. And hers is beautiful, beautiful machine. The difference is, you know, I have got a lot of things running, not really a lot in the background, and you know, I've got a lot of things installed, but I am convinced that those things do not affect the performance of my machine. I think I'm pretty much convinced that it's Mavericks that has slowed it down somewhat. And there are a couple of little things that the Apple community whinge about. You know, iPhoto is inherently slow when you get about, what, probably about 50,000 photographs. And I'm looking at, well, when I hit about 50,000 photographs, I did notice also that my iPhoto, which is the library and cataloging software for your photographs and videos, I started noticing that it slowed down there. Now I'm on, what, 71,000 images and videos now that I've got saved on my computer. And invariably, there are a couple of other things, little things. But the fact of the matter is, you know, this machine does exactly what I want it to do, and it generally does it quite quickly. And it's the integration with all of the other programs that I find so useful. And it speeds a lot of things up as well. And there are a couple of nice little things, you know, there are a lot of nice things that you can only do with the Mac with OS X that you can't do on a Windows-based PC. And those who want to use Windows can install Windows on this machine. So you can have OS X and Windows running, and you can have them running at the same time, and kind of split your screen. So you got OS X on one side and Windows on the other, if you so desire. So you can run Windows programs on your Mac, you know, especially programs with executable files, you know, .exe, which you can't normally do on a Mac. So it'd be interesting to to install this, and you know, it's free. They now give away their operating systems of software away for free, which is a nice thing. Another thing that they're also bringing in with a hitch is I've seen it coming for a while. They're now introducing their iCloud Drive concept. It's not a concept, but it's coming in. And what this is basically what we had before with I can't even remember what it's called now, but when you took out a Mobile Me account, you would have an amount of cloud space, and they dispensed with that when they introduced iCloud. And what iCloud did was you could save only your pages, numbers, Keynote, so your productivity package, you know, so the Apple version of Microsoft Office, you could only save those in your iCloud space, and it would do it automatically. You could save it either on your hard drive and or your iCloud account, but it would generally do it automatically, and it was actually really handy, and it is still handy. And also, you can back up the data on your apps, should you so desire. However, with the new iCloud Drive thing that's coming in, we can now have cloud space, but you have to pay for it. It isn't very expensive, but what they're basically saying is, with the new what do they call it? Photo. Basically, you can have all of your photographs saved into the cloud. At the minute, what iCloud does is it saves your late automatically as well. I hasten to add. It automatically saves your latest 1,000 photographs that you either put onto your Mac or you take with your mobile device. So let's say now, provided that I've got some kind of internet connection, I take a photograph, it automatically saves that onto my phone, but also saves it into my iCloud photo stream. And it'll do that with the latest 1,000 photographs. So the oldest photographs will be kind of knocked off the end. And before anybody asks, well, what happens if you get knocked off the end then? Well, if you're a Mac owner and you have iPhoto installed, those photographs will be saved as a photo stream for that particular month. So you never lose them, which is really, really handy. At the minute, it only works with photographs, but with this new photos, oh, I can't recall what they're going to call it. You know, so you can have all of your photographs in your cloud space on iCloud Drive. It will also upload all of your videos as well. So essentially, what it's going to be is like the equivalent of Google Photos backup. Let me just what's it called? Google, which I have. Google Plus Auto Backup. So I have installed on my computer the Google Plus Auto Backup, and that automatically uploads all of my photographs and videos. So I can take it with my phone, and then when I come into this network in my house, it will start automatically backing up. In fact, actually, come to think of it, if I take a photograph with my phone, so I'm out and about. If I take a photograph of my phone, the photograph backs up to iPhoto automatically on my computer. But if I've got Google Plus Photos running, that Google Plus Photos picks up that and then it uploads it to Google Plus Photos. So it's quite a good backup system that I've got, really. However, with Google Plus Photos, if you want the full resolution image, then it will use your Google Drive space. But if you want the kind of lower resolution, which is actually perfectly acceptable, then it's free. It's free. So and videos are free as well, which is flipping mad. So it'll upload those automatically. So with the new Apple version of that, it uploads the full res photos, and I'm pretty sure it's going to upload the full res video as well. That's in accordance with the amount of space that you're paying for per month with Apple. So you can save up to 1 terabyte's worth of photos and videos with the new Apple cloud space thing, this whatever they're going to call it, iCloud Drive. Now, my photos, my iPhoto library, which is all my photographs and videos in, I have got already about 650 gigabytes worth in there. And what I actually do is any video productions that I do, I'll stick on YouTube, I'll fire and forget, and just hope to God that YouTube doesn't decide to stop working, and everybody's videos are lost forever. I should keep a copy of what I have and archive it. Yes, I do, but currently I use YouTube as my archive as well. So one thing that I've actually started doing is I'm starting to download my YouTube download my YouTube videos, and it saves them as a high res MP4, which is significantly lower in memory size than the production that I've uploaded in the, in fact, significantly. So if I'm uploading a video that's like, I don't know, 2 gigs, if I download it again from YouTube, then it's only a couple of hundred megabytes, and it actually downloads really, really quickly. So what I've started doing is I've started saving those ones for posterity more than anything else. And I stick them in my iPhoto library, and of course they go up into my Google Plus Photos backup. So it works, you know. The system is there. The system works. I hopped on there about how it's ultimately a backup system for me, but it's there. We've only got to pay for it. It's not a great deal of money, it's not, but it's another expense, and everything now is a bloody monthly fee, isn't it? And it's something that I don't want. You know, I prefer to pay And I don't do this, incidentally, but I would prefer to pay my £60 a year for my Audio Boo Plus account and then just forget about it for 12 months. And where at the minute I'm kind of ad hoc when I get the email through, they've kind of just started doing in the last 6 months, to say that my monthly Plus account has expired, I might even leave it a day or two, but I'll go back on to Audio Boo and manually do. Anyway, I'm going off track here, Apple stuff. So, I'm quite looking forward to iOS 8. And I see there that, was it Ernie? Was it Ermanda? Have you installed the first beta version? You know, I did it with iOS 7. And those beta versions were so glitchy. I did it with, you know, I installed the beta versions on my phone. They were so glitchy. Nobody had, nobody had configured their apps for iOS 7 and nothing worked. So I installed it, had a look at it, thought, oh, this is completely different. And then because nothing worked, I uninstalled it and reinstalled iOS 6. But there are a few useful little features, you know, these little quirky little things that you think, oh yeah, why didn't we have that before? Again, as I, you know, as I said at the start there, you know, some of these have been taken from Android. It's blatant that is the case, but nonetheless, they're coming across. I'm quite chuffed. I'm really looking forward to it, actually, and so we'll just have to wait and see. So the mobile platform operating system and the desktop are both going to be released in the autumn, in October time it usually is, isn't it? So or maybe just a little bit, yeah, it's about the same time as the release as the new iPhone, or maybe just like a week or two before. It is really, isn't it? It's a week or two before, but in middle or back end of September when they release the new operating systems. So yeah, I mean, that's that. What, you know, if you are if you're not a hater if you're not a hater, then you can go to Apple's website and you can see the Worldwide Developers Conference where they talk about all of these new things, and have a ganders for yourself, really. It's all there for you. Here we go. This is the thing. They talked about this new health app that they're bringing out. Now, there's been a lot of rumours for over a year now about the iWatch. What is this watch that Apple are going to bring out? So put that in the back of your mind. Apple and a watch. Tim Cook was quizzed by Walter Mossberg about a watch, and Tim Cook didn't answer the question, and he says, well, what about wearables? And Tim Cook was like, well, we're very interested in wearables. We're still very interested in wearables. So put that in the back of your mind. So anyway, they announced this health app. And they talk about how being healthy is very important, and you can track your physical attributes with regards to health and fitness. But they didn't tell you how you were going to track it. They just said, this is an app that will do that. So, September is the time when they have their... It used to be Apple's music event where they introduced the new iPod range. And the whole event was tailored around music. So, what they did was they rejigged the release of the iPad. So the iPad would be, the new iPad would always be released in the October as well, invariably, so they could make sales at Christmas, which is a no-brainer, really. Before, it was always released in May. Well,
you know, people are still probably still recovering from, some people are still recovering from Christmas, you know, even as far as May, aren't they? So so now they've got time, you know, inverted commas, now they've got time to save up for an iPad, which are just an astronomical amount of money, really. But a brilliant tool. So my kind of take on this is, with the announcement of this health app, which nobody knows how to use, insofar as it records your health and fitness things, but how are you going to record it? So my take on it is they're going to announce this wearable, whatever it's going to be, whether it's a watch or a some other kind of wearable device. They'll announce it in September when they release. They talk about the new iPhone, the new iPad, and this other new thing. So that'll be very interesting. That'll be very interesting to see what they're going to bring out. And you know, I'm not a hater of anything else at all. I've mentioned this many times in Audio Booze that I like Apple stuff because it does what I want it to do. Everything works together. You know, Apple TV, my iMac downstairs, the kids' old iMac upstairs, the phones, the iPad, you know, everything just works, all right? You know, so I don't need a faff. All you need to do is put in your Apple ID and it connects to the internet, whatever device it is, and it does the rest for you. So that's what I want it to do, and it does it. But yes, there are things that I would like the devices to be able to do other than what they can do already. You know, I played with a Galaxy Note 3. Is it a Note 3? The latest one? My brother-in-law's wife has got one. And I enjoyed the size of it. It wasn't massive like the Galaxy. Which was like the size of an iPad mini, but it was a phone. I can't remember which one it was, but that is just ridiculous. It's like holding an iPad mini to the side of your head. It was that big. That is just stupid, as far as I was concerned. But anyway, the Galaxy Note she had, and I really enjoyed it. This is my thing. There was nothing intuitive about it. There was one little thing, you know, it comes with this little, the pen, is it the S Pen in the bottom, which is nice, actually. You know, I enjoy it. It was very, very accurate when you were writing a manuscript on the screen. But we got to this bit where we couldn't get back to the normal keyboard, and even she didn't know how to do it. And, you know, there's maybe a lot of Android users out there who know what I'm talking about, who are going, oh, well, why didn't you press this or why didn't you press that? Well, I didn't know, and it wasn't bloody obvious. I'm not an idiot when it comes to things like that, but, you know, we tried various things and we couldn't get that keyboard back, but it wasn't obvious is my point. That was my issue. But otherwise, you know, I liked it, you know, I liked the device. I just, you know, I'm not one of these people anymore who likes fiddling with technology. You know, if you know, Apple build a device and they build everything into it that you need to do, you know, like they don't have removable batteries anymore, you just need to plug it in, admittedly all day, yes, but you know, there's no need to faff with a battery anymore. Is a removable battery important? You know, if I'm out hiking, I will take an extra, you know, my Power Monkey Extreme battery pack, and someone who has an Android phone who can remove the batteries might take 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 extra batteries. Well, it, you know, same difference, isn't it? So, you know, I did like the size of that for what it did, but I buy the device for what I want to do. I had an argument with one of the guys, well, not an argument, because I just told him, because I'm his boss, today at work, why do you want an iPhone, the shit? And I said, how is an iPhone shit? How is it crap? Tell me how it's crap. Well, you can't do this, this, or this. I said, I don't want to do those things that you're doing. You're meddling with your phone. Yeah, but your battery only lasts this long. I said, well, no. You know, mine, depends what I'm doing with it. But generally, my phone will last all day long on, you know, and it'll only use 30% of the battery all day. And that's me checking messages and social networks on the internet. And, you know, that's fine. I haven't got a problem with that. I just accept. There are some things I accept. I said, there's a lot of things on your phone that you can't do either. And he was like, yeah, like what? But that was just him being argumentative, but never mind. I just don't like it when people say, oh, it's shit. Pardon my French. Oh, it's crap. Well, it's not crap, is it? It's clearly not crap. You might as well have an argument. Which car is better, BMW or Mercedes? Because I guarantee that would spark an argument in a lot of circles. So, you know, that's my thing. I didn't want to talk about the little things that they were selling in this Worldwide Developers Conference. It was just an overall, you know, I just noticed that there was a different energy about this one. So that's it. All the haters, I'm sorry, you know. I generally and genuinely believe that Apple, people who favour Apple products or favour Apple products, don't hate anybody else. Nobody, you know, I'm in that firm belief. I see a lot of these, I'm a member of a few communities on Google Plus with regards to Apple stuff, and they're the trolls. Why someone who's an Android lover wants to go onto an Apple community and then, you know, have you know, proper arguments about why do you want Apple this or why you can't do this, you can't do that. Why anybody would want to do that, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. And they're not trolling as well. They're being genuine. But I don't believe that people who use Apple products, you know, hate or haters of other platforms or devices. I don't believe they are. I buy the products because they do what I want them to do. They service me and my family very well, and it's the fact that they're very, very intuitive devices that I enjoy. And that's my kind of second part of, or second strand on this audio boo. So, like I didn't mention at the start of this audio boo, this is my audio mode day 5 recording. Maybe I should have done that. And I also haven't added a little musical intro, care of Freaky Foof, which I actually have done since day one, I think. But that's because it's late, it's getting on. I still need to go into the shower, and after being flipping beasted tonight, actually, by our... I can hear a cat shaking its head and the bell jingling. Come in. Come in. Don't come in, then. So I'm still stinky. I hope you've had a really good day. The weather has really picked up here today, and apparently it's going to be very, very hot here on Saturday, 24 degrees, which actually means it's going to be hotter than that. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you've had a really nice day, everybody, and it's Friday tomorrow, so get doing stuff this weekend. Don't waste it. Take care. I'm out of here. All one word. Out.